Okay, how's everyone doing tonight? Good. Do we have any updates for our prayer list? Okay. That's the Dameron family. They have two, you said two babies?
This is their daughter.
Okay. Okay, so their daughter had twins, and they're 3 months premature. And they're in Philadelphia. Yes, sir. All right, who's next? Yes, ma'am.
I have a niece, Lynn, that had her first chemo treatment yesterday, and it was
disastrous. Oh, Lynn Bear chemo treatment. Okay. Okay. Anybody? Oh, what's his name?
His name is Warren Harden.
Warren Harden.
Warren
cancer in the neck. Okay. Okay. No, no, I'm good. I was just making sure my phone wasn't still on in case someone tried to call me. Anybody else? Yeah.
Yeah. We've got a whole family get together this past weekend, and some of the niece tested positive. So everybody in the family is getting tested every day.
What's his name?
His name is Terrence Covington.
Terrence Covington. And we're waiting on a COVID test for him. Anybody else? Okay. Well, Father God, we just want to lift up each and every one of these prayer requests to you. We pray for the Dameron family and those 3 month premature babies. And God, I remember how little my son was when he was weighing 4 pounds, much less how much a 1 pound baby must feel like in your hands. And so I just pray for those children, and I pray for that family that you would just strengthen them and just make it obvious that people are praying for them even right now. God, if you could just strengthen them and give them hope in the midst of their suffering, that's what we ask for. We also ask for just your mercy with all these health concerns, Father. People struggling with cancer and chemo treatments. And we just ask you, Lord, to touch each and every one of them, granting them hope in the midst of that struggle. And God, we just pray your purpose and your plan would be accomplished and your will would be done. We also just pray for Terrence Covington to have a positive response from the COVID test. And Lord, we just we give you all these names. We ask that you wouldn't forget them, that you would send your spirit to comfort them. and that they would know that they're being prayed for. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Before we get started, I did want to mention our phone lines are not working right now because of our renovations. And the phone lines in the fellowship hall not really working either. So our workaround is we're just going to tell people to just call our phones. So if you need to add somebody to the prayer list, you can call or email Tina or myself. You know, I have a little baby, so I might not always answer, but I get back to people pretty quick. I will tell you that. So just anytime you need somebody here at the church, we're going to include that in the announcements on Sunday, but I just wanted to let y'all know first, because sometimes the more you mention it, the more it gets in here, you know. So just if y'all have anything you need to add, you can call me or you can let Tina know. So if y'all have any problems with that, please let me know. But it's only for 6 months, and I just felt like the cheapest thing to do is free, right? Do nothing. Just tell people to call us. So everybody in the church should have our numbers, and if not, please feel free to give them out. We are going to be in Proverbs chapter 5 today. Proverbs chapter 5. Oh, yeah, one other thing. A lot of folks have been asking about Anna and praying. And first, I just want to say thank you. I don't know if you know it, but this is a good church. This church has a lot of good people in it. So first off, I just want to say thank you for that. As of right now, we're probably not going to be doing a biopsy. We think we know what her problem is, and this just seems too risky based on some of the information we got last week. So if anything changes, we'll let you know. But for right now, we're just she's dropped back to two treatments a week instead of three, and they're going to see how she does with that. And she's holding steady at 10% kidney function. We really need that to be like twice as high for her to just be able to stop doing dialysis at 20%. She could not do dialysis and actually be fine. So that's what we're praying for, and that's what we're hoping for. And, you know, I continue to need your prayers for that. Like, if you want to think about how you can pray for me or help me, you know, during this Pastor Appreciation Month stuff, the biggest thing you can do is just pray for my wife, because when she's doing well, I'm doing well, just to be honest with you. I mean, I've done this job without her, and I've done it with her, and I just prefer to have her. Like, I like her pretty good, you know? So if y'all just can continue to pray for her, I just appreciate that. And, you know, I believe in prayer and the power of prayer. And we're going to talk about that on Sunday in our sermon about Gideon. But, you know, God answers prayer. And so I just want to be humble enough to tell y'all, please keep praying. And thank you for your prayers. And thank you for being sweet to my wife, because that's like being nice to me. So we're in Proverbs chapter 5. And what I did with this chapter is I've broken it up into three lessons. And really, there's just a lot of meat in this section. And my hope is that you can be able to receive some of this information in a way that you've never heard before. A lot of what Solomon is trying to do in this chapter is give his son advice about women. But I was in my 30s until I realized you can take this same thing and advise. You can advise men about women, but you can also advise women about men, because it's the same type of man and it's the same type of woman, right? So really, it's no respecter of persons. So it's a warning against adultery, and it's a warning against a certain type of person. That's what I'll say. It's not just the charm and the beauty that's fleeting for women that have difficulties with men, but it's also, you know, there's a type of man that does the exact same thing. And so hopefully going through this, you'll be able to see that and you'll be able to apply it in a new way. That's what my hope is. Because when I began to understand this more, it helped me. It helped me. It helped me as a teacher and as a pastor, and I hope it helps you. So really, we're going to look just at verses 1 through 6 tonight. And the beginning of this section, he's really just saying you need to lean into wisdom and don't listen or buy into flattery, right? So chapter 5, verse 1, we're going to start there. My son, be attentive to my wisdom and incline your ear to my understanding, that you may keep discretion and your lips may guard knowledge. For the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a double-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps follow the path to Sheol. She does not ponder the path of life. Her ways wander, and she does not know it. So, lean into wisdom. Keep your sense, and don't buy into flattery. Now, I've already told y'all tonight that I already love this church, and we already have wonderful people. But I have to tell you, before I pastored my first church, before I even had my first ministry job, I had this old pastor at seminary give me this advice. And I'll tell you, it's true in a sense, okay? It's like most things, it's true in a sense, okay? But it applies directly here. And he said this. He said, when you go to your new church, Josh, you're going to have two type of people that welcome you. He said, the sincere and the insincere, right? He said, some people that welcome you in the most, that give you the most flattery about how good of a preacher you are, that tell you how good of a man of God you are, he said, they're just trying to get in with you because they have an opinion about how they want you to do things. He said, and there's another kind of person who just wants to see God glorified and wants to encourage you and wants to be a kindness to your spirit. He said, the thing about it is you need to have discernment to be able to tell those two people apart. Because the truth is, when you go into a new place, you can't know that difference. Like, I'm coming in here and I'm new, and look, I'm just going to be honest. There may be people here that y'all know, you might not want to listen to everything that comes out of that person's mouth. But y'all know that because y'all known them your whole lives, right? But I don't know that. So I have to learn that through experience, what kind of person we're talking about here. So Solomon has experienced life just like we have, right? And I'm kind of being silly, but I'm also being honest because I've experienced this firsthand at least one church that I was at, that some of the people that welcomed me in the most had the most opinions 2 years later about me, right? It's not about them liking or disliking you. It's about you doing what they want you to do or going in a direction that they want you to go in. And listen, the same exact thing is true for this type of woman that Solomon's describing, or for the type of man that he's describing. If you're a woman, you can think about it like that. Because we all need to be on guard for that type of woman or that type of man, and we need to know the characteristics that they employ. What do they look like? And that's what we should think about as we're looking at this. So this is new advice to pastors starting in new churches. Sometimes the people that welcome you the most are the ones that you need to watch out for the most. And listen, the same thing is true at your job, in your family, with your friends. Sometimes the people who are the most flirtatious, the most complimentary, the most excitable are that way for a reason. They're not just trying to be nice always. They're trying to get on your good side or blind you to something else they're going to ask for or something else they're going to do. People are very manipulative. And believe me, sometimes they mean to be, and it's an intentional manipulation, and sometimes people don't mean it and they just kind of don't think it through. And we have to be on guard against both of these types of people, okay? And I also want you to remember this. For any sin that we talk about, and as long as I'm here, I'm going to try to emphasize this, God has grace. So if you're a person who's committed adultery, or you're a person whose adultery has been committed against, then I want you to know that God has grace and forgiveness and acceptance for you. But that the point of our lesson tonight is to note the things that we should watch out for and to be on guard against those things. So we need to keep discretion, and we need to have our lips guard knowledge. That means waiting to express an opinion until you have enough information to give, right? Do you know how hard that is for somebody that gets paid to preach? Yeah, I'm talking about myself when I'm reading this, okay? I have to be careful and not have an opinion about things. I need to be careful. Even just today, I was talking to my wife about somebody, and I won't tell you who it is or what it is, but I'll just say, I told my wife, I said, I was too judgmental about that. I passed judgment, and I made a quick judgment, and I said something without thinking about it, and about 3 or 4 days later, I told my wife, I said, Anna, yeah, that was wrong of me to do, you know? And so we need to make sure that we have enough information to make a decision. We need to be careful with that. The Bible says that we should be slow to anger and quick to love. And that's one of the ways that we can be slow to angry is with our words, and quick to love with our words. Sometimes, and listen, marriage will teach you this if you haven't learned it yet, right? I learned this, I hope. Sometimes the best thing you can do is say nothing, right? Job's friends got themselves in trouble as soon as they started talking. Do you ever notice that? When they sat there quietly and supported Job in the midst of his suffering, everything was okay. But as soon as they tried to give him advice and tried to speak out of what they thought was going on with God, that's when they got themselves into trouble. And I think the same thing is true of us when it comes to judgmentalism and when it comes to the things we need to watch out for when we're looking at these types of men and women. Verse 3. Verse 3 is a great verse because it's very descriptive. And one of the things I love about Hebrew, and I don't know if I've said this here, but I say this when I talk about it, it's a bit of a redneck language, right? And what I mean by that is it's very descriptive, right? You don't just say you ran down the road and you sweat a little bit, right? You say, I ran down the road and I sweat like I was sitting on the sun, right? That's how Hebrew is. It's very descriptive. And so here he says, for the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. That's pretty smooth. So this is a reference to honey. So what he's saying her words are thick and sweet, right? Honey, it's got that kind of thickness to it, right? It's got that stickiness to it. And it's smoother than oil. She's a smooth talker. He's a smooth talker. It's the type of person who tells you the things that you want to hear. A good husband or a good wife or a good boyfriend or a good girlfriend will tell you the things you don't always want to hear. Right? If my wife tells me something I don't want to hear, she reminds me of that sometimes. But anyway, I need to be reminded of that sometimes. It's good to have people in our lives that are honest with us, even when we don't always want honesty. Somebody who's never telling you something negative usually wants something from you. And those are the type of people that we need to be on guard against. When I read this, y'all might think I'm crazy, but I thought of this salesman that I know. And I'm just kind of calling him Andy. That's not his real name. I knew him and I was friends with him about 8 years ago, 9 years ago, something like that. And he was a used car salesman. But when I met him, I didn't know that he was a used car salesman. I just knew him because we had some seminary activities together, right? That's how I knew him. But I knew that there was something about this guy that I didn't trust. Something wasn't quite right with him, right? He was the type of guy who, when he was describing something or when he was telling you something that he thought was the truth, you could tell that it was his version of the truth. You know, almost like a politician, right? I mean, when we listen to some of these debates, it's funny. They'll ask them a question and they won't even answer that question. They'll just talk about whatever they want to talk about. And even then, they're not being honest. That's how he was. And I learned that he's not trustworthy. And I learned that I had to be careful around him. And I learned that sometimes people are trying to manipulate you, not just because they want something out of it, but because they think it looks good for them to spend time with you. So this one guy, I tried to mentor him for a while. Like I would teach him, we would have Bible studies together, and I would try to mentor him because I was much older than he was. And I had people ask me, why are you wasting your time on this guy? Like, this guy is not the type of guy who's gonna get it, Josh. And I said, well, I don't know. Maybe he will or he won't. And I don't think I wasted my time. But he never really turned away from the way he was living his life. And he ended up moving away from the school. And that's a long story short. But really, there's people in this world who are so busy giving you that kind of honey sweetness with their words, that little half-truth, not full-truth, that we need to be on guard and we need to be cautious. It's almost like when we're driving along the road and we have warning signs. Now, when I moved from Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri to Ramstein, Germany, the first thing they did when I got there was they handed me the German signs. And if you think it's hard to pass your DMV test when you turn 16 or 17 or 18 out here in America, imagine they hand you a list of signs written in a different language, right? But I remember one of the first ones I learned was this word. It was Achtung, right? And that means caution. Because I knew that if I saw that sign, I needed to slow down and I needed to pay attention. So when you encounter this type of person who's really heavy on the honey in their words, a smooth talker, there's nothing but positivity in what they say, you have to be careful. You need to exercise a little caution. Because as we're driving along, there's certain people that should act like those road signs to us. That should say caution or warning or be careful. For the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. He doesn't say that the lips of a woman are, right? He doesn't say that the lips of a man are, right? He says the lips of a forbidden woman, or in our case, we'll say also a forbidden man. What does that mean? Well, that means somebody who's either already married or somebody who is not your husband or wife. That's what that means. And I've seen this at work. I mean, I'm a pastor, but God uses people in funny ways, y'all. So I've had regular jobs too. I worked for the state of North Carolina for 2 years. I've been in the military. I've worked retail. I've managed stores. I've got some different experience. Now, I'm not saying I'm a great guy, but I'm saying I've worked in different work situations, okay? And I've seen a bunch of those workplace flirty relationships where people, they act like nothing's really going to happen, but they just kind of are playing back and forth. And they think it's petty, and they think that it doesn't have an impact. But what I've seen happen just in my experience is that it does have an impact, because it impacts you mentally and spiritually, and it puts those ideas and those thoughts into your mind. I had this one guy when I was in Germany, and I didn't realize it, but all the way back at the beginning of my training, he was one of my instructors, and I didn't realize it, but this guy had a big reputation with people in my job, my career field, and my job, an engineering assistant. We didn't have a ton of people in my job. So it was kind of like being a pastor in the sense that it's a small community, right? We know each other. Does that make sense? We know each other. And so when I got to Germany, I was talking to this person, and she was like, "Oh, yeah, that's my ex-husband." And I was like, "Really?" And I was like, I didn't want to be rude, but I was thinking, man, you are much older than his wife now. And she must have seen my expression on my face, because she started laughing. And she said, "Yeah, he has a wife for every stripe of his rank," right? So this guy, I think at the time he had 5 or 6 stripes. So every time he got promoted, I guess he ended up with another wife. I'm not quite sure how that worked out. But that was the type of person who was always looking for that next relationship. And the reason I know that is because the last wife he got was another instructor there, right? In fact, it was another student in one of the classes that he married. You know, when we've trained our mind to always look for these kind of relationships, we find them. When we train our mind to guard our marriage, to guard our eyes, to guard our thought life, then we are in a much better position. Now, you all are probably going to laugh at me because I do something that I don't know anybody else that does this. But like if Anna and I are watching TV or a movie or something, and something gets a little too steamy, like we'll look at each other, and I'll just do like cover my eyes like I'm a little kid and I'm seeing something scary, right? Because I know you guys probably think I'm funny, but I don't want to let that in my mind. Because I know that later when I want to go to sleep at night, that might pop back in my mind. Or later the next day when someone's counseling me or asking for advice or getting counsel from me about something serious, one of those thoughts might pop in my mind. So I need to do my duty and have some discernment and protect myself before I'm even in that situation. And that's what I mean. When he says that we're to guard ourselves from these type of people, we're to make the decision about how we're going to behave before we're even in the situation. It impacts our mindset, the type of thinking and the type of behavior that we are going to say is acceptable or unacceptable. It was sort of like my sermon on Sunday. I had several people comment. Because I came up on Sunday and I said, this is PG-13, right? And I said, some of you might not want young children to listen. And I had a bunch of people say, well, Josh, you see worse stuff than that on TV. And I thought, yeah, but that doesn't mean it's okay. And maybe it is okay, and maybe it isn't okay for your child. But you should have the decision to do that, not me. Like, I wanted to be sensitive to that, because there's some people who have a much more strict view of those things than I do. So I made a decision, and I'm gonna be honest with you. I made a decision years ago, about 5 years ago, that whenever I preached a text that had sensitive sexual imagery or stories in it, that I was going to make sure that I let people know that it was going to be a sensitive or mature sermon. Because I decided that for me, that was a line I didn't want to cross without letting people know, because some people don't want their children to hear that. And some people will bring one child and not the other. And you know what? Some people would just thank you for being sensitive to them, even though they brought their children anyway. And for those of you who don't care one way or the other, I love you and appreciate you too. So I'm not saying it matters to me one way or the other. But I'm saying we have to decide ahead of time what lines we're going to have in our lives. Otherwise, we come into the situation, we haven't created a boundary, and we're in trouble. So this is about creating boundaries in our minds. We have a battlefield of the mind. One of the ways that God makes us like Christ is that He renews our mind. We're not to be conformed to this world, but through the renewing of our mind, we become more like Christ. You know what that means? It means we need a new mind. Our old mind, our natural way of thinking, skews. And that's what Solomon's doing. I don't know if any of y'all are good bowlers or not, but I am a really good, terrible bowler. And by that, I mean, I take pride in it. It's funny to me. So, like, if I'm bowling with kids, I'll put up the bumper things on the side because I want to see how many times I can hit it before I hit a pin. Like, that's fun to me. But these boundaries, that's what they are to our lives. They're like the guardrails or the boundaries for our lives. We have to make a decision about the type of people we want to be before we're already in that ditch. And that's what Solomon's trying to tell his son, is these are the type of women that you need to watch out for. These are the type of men that you need to watch out for. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood. She's bitter tasting, not sweet. These type of relationships are foul. They taste bad. It's that idea of forbidden fruit, you know? It's like sometimes they think it's better when it's wrong. It's this idea that we have in our culture that if it's wrong, it's better. Or if it's like more tantalizing or rude. But we don't even have to describe it, you know? Somehow it'll turn you on more if it's bad. That's what I'm talking about. That's that idea. And he says that you think it's sweet at first, but it becomes bitter in your mouth. And I can tell you that these type of relationships, that is what happens. People get tired of each other. And I've wanted to say this to people time and time again, and sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. It just depends on what the Spirit of God leads me to do. But I always want to say to them, if he is cheating on his wife with you, what makes you think he's going to be faithful to you? Right? Y'all are going to start some new family based on unfaithfulness and then be surprised 5, 8, 10 years later when it doesn't work out? Got to be crazy. It's not sweet. It turns on you. And it turns out to be bitter. It's like counterfeit money. It looks the same. It might feel the same for a second. You know, good counterfeit artists, they'll put their money in a washing machine to make it have that feel. Instead of like a new piece of paper, they want it to feel like it's been used. But the experience leaves you empty. This is a good verse for us to pray for our friends too. If you have any friends that are dating the wrong kind of people, this is the type of verse that I pray for them. Because in my life, I've prayed that God would give them the good sense to see it for what it is instead of what they hope it is, you know? I like this, okay? So, Renee, I'm going to pick on you for a second, but I think you're going to like this. So, I like writing my own translations of verses sometimes. So, for this verse, I wrote, "She acts sweeter than Renee's pound cake, but she tastes like an envelope." All right? She tastes like unsweet tea, but she's pretending like she's sweet tea. Right? Have you ever done that? Have you ever picked up a glass that you thought was sweet tea and then started drinking it and it was unsweet tea? And it tastes that much worse in your mouth, doesn't it? Because you're expecting something sweet, and then as soon as it hits your taste buds, you have that bitterness. That's what these kind of relationships are like. They're counterfeit. They're fake. They're easy. They're not real, and they have no depth to them. She's as sharp as a double-edged sword, a two-edged sword. It's going to cut you. It's going to hurt. People think these type of relationships, that they can go in and out of them and not be hurt by them, but that's not what happens. These kind of relationships, they prematurely age people. Have you ever seen somebody who's one of these serial daters, that they date lots of people? They age really bad. And I don't mean to be rude, like they look bad. I mean their stress level is terrible. Like, that's what I'm talking about. Their stress level is just horrendous. They get more and more anxious. They get more and more worried. They get more and more upset. And it's almost like the more they're looking for that relationship, the harder it is for them to see that relationship for what it is. And that's why this is a good verse for us to pray for our friends or our family members who are looking for somebody to marry. This is a good verse for us to pray. And I just pray, God, if she's bitter as wormwood, show them. Right? God, if she's as bitter as wormwood, show them. If he's as bitter as wormwood, show them. Because you're going to get cut with that sword. You're going to get cut going both ways. It's going to hurt you. You can't get in and out of those kind of relationships without it hurting. And it's not about the type of thing people say that they are. You can't trust people. There's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. You need to get advice. Don't just get advice from one or two people. Get advice from a multitude of people. Don't just get advice about it from your mom or your dad or your friends. Get advice from a multitude of counselors. Ask people who have been there before and can see it from a different point of view than you can. Because that perspective, I guarantee you, helps you see things that other people don't see. It's kind of like your post the other day, Evelyn. You know, your Facebook post. She posted a Facebook post where she was asking women who are older than her to give her advice. If you could say one thing to somebody in your 20s, what would it be, you know? And I was just creeping on that post, I'll be honest with you, because I wanted to see what people said. And I loved reading what people said. I loved reading what Lisa put and what Anna put and what Holly put. Like, I was into it, you know? Because if somebody asked me that question, I know some things to tell them that I might not have thought of, you know? Jane was another person I had a really interesting point on. And so when you ask somebody who's been there before you or has gone through it before you, then they're able to see things that you can't see. Does that make sense? They can see things that you can't see because their perspective is different. And we're so focused sometimes on not making the wrong choice that we forget to look for the things that help us make the right choice. Right? That's part of what he's talking about. Verse 5, her feet go down to death and her steps follow the path to Sheol. Her steps lead to the grave. His steps lead to the grave. I had this guy that I was in the service with. And Proverbs is really good for military stories, y'all, so I hope you don't mind. I was only in 6 years, but sometimes I feel like I got 20 years worth of stories. So we had this sergeant in my unit, and he was like one of those really undisciplined, bad workers, but who didn't do something bad enough to get in trouble. Like, he would do just enough to get by. You know what I mean? Even in the civilian world, you have the same thing. You have people you work with who do just enough to not get fired. And that's what this guy was. He would always get just enough on his PT test to not get in trouble. You know, his physical fitness test. He would do just enough work to not get yelled at for being lazy. Right? He would leave just early enough on Fridays to not get yelled at for giving himself an extra day on a 3-day weekend. He was just famous for it. Well, one day, he was out drinking with some friends of his in K-Town, in Kaiserslautern, Germany. And we have this rule where if you're drinking at night and you need a ride, all you have to do is call this number and one of us will come pick you up. And he got really obnoxious that day. And he was like, I got this. So this guy was going 65 miles an hour in a one-way street going the wrong way at 2 in the morning. And he destroyed this brand new sports car that he had. When I saw pictures of the car, I couldn't believe that he wasn't in the hospital. Like, that's how bad it was. He ended up having to get kicked out of the military because of how high his blood alcohol level was and how much trouble he got into. See, he had made a decision about the person he was going to be a long time ago. But it took a while for it to catch up with him, right? He was going in a direction where his path was going to lead to his destruction. Does that make sense? That path was going to lead to destruction. That barely doing enough to get by, that trying to manipulate and use people, and that trying to have as much fun as you can, that just barely doing enough to get by stuff. Well, we had to do more work, or we had to do more responsibilities because this guy wasn't doing what he was supposed to. But he got what he was looking for in the end. You know? So that's what we have to be careful of, is people that live these kind of fast and loose lifestyles, they might not care what happens to them later that week, much less thinking what's going to happen next month or next year or 2 years ago or 5 years ago. And I, you know, I want a marriage that's 65 years long, right? Like some other people that I know in here. I want one that stands the test of time. And if you want that, you need to be dedicated to it, not always looking for another way out, and you need to be mutually dedicated to that. And Anna and I have this thing, we'll play with each other sometimes because, you know, the vows say in sickness and in health. And so if I'm in a bad mood because I'm sick or something, I'll say, well, you know, it is in sickness and in health, you know. And boy, she's reminded me of that too every once in a while. But there's a reason we do that. We dedicate ourselves, you know, for the greater good, for mutual love and before God. That's what we do. So we decide before one of us is sick or doesn't sleep that night or has to get up with the baby for the third time in the last 20 minutes that we're going to love each other anyway. And these type of people have made the opposite decision that Solomon's warning us about. They have decided ahead of time that they're not going to do the right thing. See, they don't care about the doom or the destruction, not only that their path is leading them down, but that the temptation is leading them down. One of the best advices that somebody older than me, a man, a pastor, a friend, he said, Josh, you need to cut off the temptation as early as you can stand it. He said it's the opposite about getting... He said it's just like getting burned. I don't know if y'all ever played this game, but boys are stupid, and I had two brothers, so we played dumb games sometimes when my parents weren't around. But did y'all ever play the game to see who could hold their hand in the oven the longest or, like, touch the stove for the longest? Maybe it's just us. Or get closest to touching it. That's the real thing. We weren't... Now, Steve, I know you and Dan didn't do this kind of stuff, but I sure did some dumb things in my day. And so we would see how close we could get to it before we got burned, or see how close we could get to it before we were scared and had to jerk our hands away, right? The smart thing to do is to not even put your hand near that, right? That's the smart thing to do. But listen, when it comes to sexual temptation, we have people that want to get as close to that fire as they can without getting burned. And it doesn't make any sense at all, does it? They want to watch movies that have nudity in it and then be surprised when they have sexual temptation. Right? They want to have access to internet, and they can't handle that access. So they need to do things to limit themselves. I actually had a guy I was trying to help one time who was suffering from pornography addiction that he would rather continue struggling with it and have the internet than not. Because I told him, I said, it's simple. You can't handle having a computer in your pocket right now. You need to get rid of your iPhone, or you need to let me put a passcode and a restriction so that you can't use the internet at all. Because you can find stuff on social media, you can find stuff on Google, you can find stuff on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. It's not hard, it's easy. If you're looking for stuff, you can find it. I said, so you need to not have that temptation in your pocket. And he was honest with me, and I actually respected him more for being honest, because he was like, I'm not willing to do that, Josh. He tried it, but it didn't even last a day. An hour later, he came back to my room and he said, I can't do it. See, we have to decide before we have that temptation going on in our lives that we're not going to stand for that level of temptation. We don't need to be manly and silly and dumb like I was when I was probably older than you think when I was doing that. It's not about getting as close to it as you can. And fire is a good analogy. The book of Proverbs uses fire to talk about sexual temptation, to talk about us trying to play with fire and not get burned. That's where that expression comes from. We're going to get to that later. So the idea that we can play around with it and have it not impact us mentally, psychologically, emotionally is insane. It's insane. The amount of problems that we have in our children, in our high schoolers, in our middle schoolers, because of the use and the access to pornography, because we want every kid to have a smartphone. We couldn't have handled carrying a computer around when we were 8 years old, but we expect them to be okay with it? We would rather them be happy and have something to keep them quiet than we would limit their ability to have access to things that are going to permanently damage them. They're leading down a path of destruction. This way leads to death. It's complication, it's heartache, it's death. That's what those kind of relationships are like. And I just want to say this too. Solomon is telling this to his sons and these other educated men. And he is absolutely the worst person to tell us not to do this, right? I mean, if there's anybody in the Bible who's guilty of being foolish when it comes to the opposite sex, it's Solomon, right? Solomon is saying, trust me, son, I know when it comes to this issue what it can cost you. It cost Solomon his legacy. I mean, that's the high point for the kingdom of Israel. It's all downhill from there in a lot of ways. I don't know if you know that. Historically, it is a high point for the people of Israel that they have never come back from. And a lot of that is because of the ways in which he failed to show his children how to behave. He didn't sow roots for how to have a proper, good nuclear family. So when they went to go have their families, they didn't respect their wives either, and they didn't stay faithful to them. So they had all kinds of children. So they had all kinds of different people fighting over the throne. And the more generations removed from Solomon they became, the worse it got. Now, they had a couple of people mixed in there over the years that were faithful, and a couple of people mixed in there who became prophets of God that are in their same line. But think about how much better and different the Bible would have been if Solomon had listened to his own advice. It would have been completely different. He can't even get his sons to do what he's saying. There's a desperation to the book of Proverbs that I feel like we miss. He can't get them to do what he's saying because he didn't do it. It's like a man who's had a heart attack from eating cheeseburgers every day, right? Trust me, eating some vegetables every once in a while is good for you. But son, I know you never see me eating vegetables. It's that same idea. Verse 6. Well, I do want to mention this. The word Sheol, some people argue about what it means. I always translate it the grave. That's why you hear me treat it that way. We could do a whole Bible study one night on the word Sheol and talk about it, but that's not what we're talking about tonight. But I did want to mention that word is kind of complicated. Okay, verse 6. She does not ponder the path of life. Her ways wander, and she does not know it. Again, one of the worst things that can happen in our lives is for us to go in a bad direction and not even know it. You talk about lacking sense. My mom used to say that person doesn't even, that she would say, they lack the sense God gave a billy goat. And I think that was her way of saying they were stubborn. But she doesn't consider where this activity is leading her in life. He doesn't consider where this activity is leading him in life. And here's the sad truth that we like to hide from. People do what they want to do more. People do what they want to do the most, right? So if I'm sitting here saying, I want to lose weight, but I'm eating ice cream tonight after I leave this place, I wanted ice cream more than I wanted to take some laps around the church, didn't I? I mean, yeah, I did. But when it comes to these issues of sexual abuse prevention, or when it comes to these issues of sexual identity, or when it comes to these issues of how I'm going to treat members of the opposite sex, people do what they want to do more the most. That's what they do. They take action and they do what they want to do. And he's saying this type of person lacks the sense to see the direction that it's leading them. I mean, we live in a society where people can start sex change operations for their kids when they're six. Now, I understand that that can make us angry. But I would tell you, that should make us heartbroken. That should make us heartbroken. Because they don't know how bad what they're doing is. And that's the same attitude that we should have towards these type of folks here that are in relationships and are living lives that lead to destruction. This type of person lacks sense. They're not only aimless, but they're clueless about how their behavior impacts the direction of their life. I think probably one of the best examples for this, if we just take it out of the realm of sexuality, is money, right? Money is a finite thing. And we don't all get the same amount of it, but we all get money when we're working, right? We all get money. You can save some of it. You can spend some of it. You can use some of it to pay your bills. But what you do with that money shows the direction of your heart, doesn't it? I'll put it to you another way. One of my favorite things about Amazon is the wish list. Gwen, you're on my side with this, I think. So I think it was about 4 or 5 years ago, but I had a family member ask me what I wanted for a graduation gift, I think. And I just sent him this link that I have on my Amazon page to all the books I want to buy. Like, I mean, I know that's pretty nerdy, but I do. I have this Amazon thing, and it's called preacher books or pastor books or something like that. And that's where I put books that I want to buy. And then I have another one, and it's called cooking stuff. And it's stuff I want to buy for my grill or stuff I want to buy for my kitchen, because cooking really relaxes me. I love to cook. And so I have these Amazon lists that I build, that I work on, so that one day, if somebody asks me what I want, I can just send them that link, right? And Anna loves it because her mom asked, I think like 2 days ago, about what I might want for Christmas. And Anna said, just look at his list. Because I already decided, if you want to spend this much money, here's the option. You got to put cheap and expensive things on there, y'all. Okay? You got to give people options. You don't want to be rude about it. But you got to think it through, right? You got to think through. If I wanted to get a gift for one of y'all, that's what I would want. I would want a list with some options on it, right? Because I know if I give somebody that list who asks for it, I'm going to get something from that list because I'm invested in that, right? It's the same thing when it comes to faithfulness in our marriage. What are we investing in? What are we investing in? What are we looking at? What are we putting our energy and our efforts and our time and our treasure into? I had this professor, and he used to say, time, talent, treasure. Those are the three things that measure what matters in your life. What do you put the time into? What do you put the money into? And what are you pouring your talent into? Now, one of the great things about this church, I can tell you already, is that we have some very talented people here. And that excites me. I don't know who's going to sing on Sunday until Denise lets me know. There's a bunch of you that it could be. You got a lot of different talented people. So if you have a talent for singing, and you're coming and you're helping lead the congregation, you're spending your talent and your time on that because it's important to you. And it's the same thing with our relationships. What are we spending our efforts on? And sometimes it's not so much about how much time, but how much quality time. Right? If the baby has taken a nap, Anna and I will go in the other room and we'll have him just by us. And it'll be like he's not even there. And we'll just watch a movie or something, but he's there, you know. You got to make the best of what you have. That's what I'm saying. So this section has a couple things that we can apply to our lives. First, believe in trustworthy people. Believe in trustworthy people and listen to them. Because Solomon at the beginning says, incline your ear to this. He says that a lot. Which I feel like Solomon almost he wants to go up to his son and grab him by the earlobe and say, boy, listen, I'm talking to you, right? Incline your ear. Point, boy, are you listening? So listen to people that are trustworthy, okay? Two, don't be taken in by flattery. Listen, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. That's what I've learned. Consider the path of your life. We're getting a little bit philosophical tonight, okay? Consider the path of your life. What do you want your legacy to be? Now, Joe, I'm not trying to get controversial, but LeBron James, right? The Lakers won. And all the talk show sports people, they want to sit up there and they want to talk about what's this guy's legacy. He's 36 years old and he's still playing, LeBron James is. His legacy hasn't been decided yet. They want to have a discussion while this man's still working about what his legacy is going to be. But there's nothing wrong with considering the path of his life, right? What's the trajectory of what he's working on? What's the direction? If we continue in this same path, what's going to happen? Are we going to get to the end of our lives and wish we had done things differently? If so, let's stop and start doing them different now. Finally, recognize and protect yourself from the weak areas of your life. Solomon had this weakness for women. He did. And he had a weakness for getting involved in relationships that he had no business getting involved in. He had so many wives, he didn't even meet them all. He had so many concubines, he didn't even meet them all. He didn't even know them all. It became a status thing for him, right? So this man who made these poor choices has given us this blueprint for how to make better choices, that we pay attention, that we see the direction that our life is going in, that we have a multitude of godly counselors in our lives, and we look at their direction. The beauty of Hebrews chapter 11 and the series that we're doing on Sunday mornings is he says, you are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. At the end of that section, when he comes into chapter 12 after chapter 11. And what the author of Hebrews is telling us is saying, look, we had all these heroes of the faith go before us. And this is what they went through. And this is how they struggled. And look, they're like our cheering section. They've already gone through this before. And they've already gone ahead of us. And they've come out the other side victorious. So no matter what things we face in our lives, we can look towards that and say, I can be victorious in these same areas. So we need to recognize the weaknesses in our lives, consider the path, consider the trajectory, and have trustworthy, wise counsel in your life. One of the keys is have somebody who's not actively involved in the decision, that can speak into the decision. Because when you have somebody who's not emotionally invested, you can get objective truth instead of just subjective reality. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your wisdom from Proverbs, warnings about the type of men and the type of women that we need to watch out for. God, I just pray that you would guide us to make good decisions when it comes to our marriage and covenants, that you would guide us in our relationships. God, that you would help us see what's there rather than what we want to be there when we're dating, and that you would give us strength to be faithful. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.